Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. This week in behavior, oh, who cares? It's summertime. Why don't we take a moment and dance in our seats to the musical stylings of John Lundbaum and Big Five Chord? Come on, Hannah. You can do better than that. You can check out John Lundbaum and Big Five Chord at BigFiveChord.com. I'm Brian Kaiser, and this is How to Behave, the Health Inspection Episode, Part 2. To my right, as always, Hannah Howard. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, I can't resist the head pop, though.
Well, it's summertime, and it's air-conditioned to about 55 degrees in the studio, so you're wrapped up like a cocoon in that shawl.
I also got soaked on my way to work, so I'm soggy.
So you couldn't really dance like you normally do to that music. So we're joined in the studio today by Kevin O'Donohue, a partner in Helbron, Levy, and O'Donohue, a full-service law firm focused on the legal and licensing needs of New York's bar and restaurant industry. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Awesome. On the phone, we have Bruce Ramsey from Huckleberry Bar.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
And New York State Restaurant Association Director of Public Affairs, Andrew Mosel. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Did I get your title right?
Yep, that sounds good to me.
Awesome. So every week we deal with a different aspect of behavior. This week, how to behave when the health department inspects your restaurant, part two. If you haven't heard part one from the 1st of July, you might want to listen to that podcast first. You can download it where you got this episode at heritageradionetwork.org. Click on How to Behave. Since letter grades were introduced in New York City in 2010, every restaurant person I know is freaked out about the surprise inspections, which happen every 5 to 12 months. Kevin, can you explain a little bit about how the process works, the multiple inspections, the grade pending signs, stuff like that?
I can. I'll do it as quickly as I can because it's kind of a complicated process and everyone's going to have...
Just the broad strokes.
everyone's going to have a different experience, and I will tell you that as far as I know, I'm one of the only attorneys who actually deals with this aspect of it. I fell into it accidentally. I didn't want to do this, but so many people were clamoring that I had to learn it. Now, as I was saying to you a minute ago, I think I'm one of the only people who doesn't work for the health department that actually knows anything about this in the entire city. So I end up getting a lot of questions like this. But I'm going to give you the broadest strokes possible. And if any of my clients are listening, I'd love to not have to tell you this for the 15th time. So if you could really take some notes,
right,
that'd be fantastic. All right. Basically, they come in on a schedule. It's a cycle. So it happens periodically based on what you get. If they come in the first time and you get an A, 13 or less, then you're good for a year and they will leave you alone.
That's you, Bruce. Good job.
Yay.
Yeah. See, everyone's happy until they come back and they're like, but I had an A for a year. What do you mean? So if you're having, you know, the best day ever, you can get that A and you're good for a year. We have seen some of the best restaurants in the city not get an A because they're not having the best day. So what happens in that case is you'll get fines. You don't get fines if you get the A. If you don't get the A the first time, they come back on the cycle. And assuming you pass with a B, then you have the opportunity to fight it. So if you get an A the second time, same thing, you're good, except this time, because you presumably got a B the first time, you will be on the B cycle, which is 150 days or 5 months. And the C cycle, of course, is 90 days. So basically what that means is if you get an A, you get a year. If you get a B, you get 150 days, 5 months. If you get a C, you get 90 days. As long as you pass one of those, they generally will not shut you down or come back. What they used to do was come back for multiple inspections until you passed, or they would shut you down. They don't do that so much anymore. And just so you know, the dockets for the first one all your dockets will be F0 at the end. That is not a graded inspection unless you have an A. F1 is your graded inspection. That's the one that counts.
All right, this may be a level of detail.
Too much? too much. And you keep the grade pending up. Grade pending you get unless you get an A.
So if you don't get an A on your first inspection, a grade pending sign goes in the window?
Not necessarily, because you don't get the grade pending until usually the second inspection.
After the second inspection.
Usually at the second inspection, they give you a new letter, and they give you a grade pending, and it's up to you.
So after the first inspection, Bruce has an A in the window, and on his website, and on his Facebook page. After the first inspection next year, when they will have been resting on their laurels for a while and a little sloppy, and they get a B score on their first inspection, they're going to keep the A in the window until the re-inspection, and then they're going to have to put in the window either the A or the grade pending.
Well, it would be a B. You don't get a grade pending with an S. It would be a B, a C, or a grade pending.
Oh, so... Yeah, either they earn an A and they put the A in the window.
Correct.
Or they don't and they put a grade pending in the window and they go to court and they fight for an A there.
That's correct. I mean, generally, as you said before, the health inspectors are kind of hit or miss and they all have their own interpretations of what happens. So I think a lot of the time some of them will tell you to take it out and some of them won't. But the rule should be that you keep the grade you had until they change it. And they don't change it until the F1 inspection.
Wait, are you telling me that some health inspectors will tell the restaurant different things than others?
Yeah, I've actually heard that a lot of city agencies will do that once in a while.
Really?
Yeah, police department, fire department, sure.
Wow. Yeah, we talked in the last episode about how the biggest complaint amongst restaurants is really the inconsistency of inspectors and what they know and don't know and being told different things.
Yeah, it's a challenge. And also, you know, the higher-ups, we had a hearing at the city council last year, and the higher-ups, you know, we've all had, I know a lot of people listening probably have had the guy get the screwdriver out and pop open your ice machine or your washing machine, and they will swear up and down that they've never done that.
Yeah.
They will go to a hearing and say, I've never touched the screwdriver, I don't know what one looks like, but, you know, they'll have probably more than half the people I've talked to have had that happen to them.
Yeah.
And the health department, and the higher-ups will say, no, that's never happened. We tell them they're not allowed to do that. But when the guy stands there and says, give me a screwdriver, I'm shutting you down, you give him a screwdriver.
Yeah. So, Andrew, let's talk about what has the New York State Restaurant Association fought for in terms of when this law to put letter grades in the windows was first proposed, and what, if anything, you're doing now to help restaurateurs in the face of these inspections.
Sure. Well, thanks again first for inviting me on to talk about it. You know, the entire restaurant industry fought this regulation very vigorously when they first proposed to put this letter grade system. One of the things that we've actually been most upset about is that the mayor decided to go through and essentially institute this by fiat by going through the Board of Health, which all the members are appointed by him. Instead of going to the city council, where at the very least, public opinion and the industry and people who live and work in the city could have more of a representative say. There's actually just a group of restaurateurs that are not affiliated with my organization, but that have sued the city over this, basically saying that I think they were empowered by the recent soda ban ruling, where a judge ruled that, you know what, you didn't go to the city council, therefore we think you overreached yourself. And they are asking a judge to overturn the letter grade system based on the same principle that he should have gone to the city council to ask him to do this. You know, we ultimately decided that litigation like that at the time was probably not the most useful thing we could do with our resources. And we've been working and trying to educate our members the best we can and also incrementally change the system. You know, we've already gotten the mayor to waive fines when restaurants are receive an A, rather, on their initial inspection. Right now we're fighting to try to get that expanded to whether they receive an A on any of their inspections or after adjudication. We've also worked with the city council to try to institute a new legislative act that will essentially forced the administration to go through the entire, not just health department, but other several other city agencies' codes and regulations, and try to find specifically items that shouldn't necessarily be fined, that are currently fine violations, and instead changing that into some kind of initial warning that could have a cure period that a restaurateur could get. Or could fix, rather, before actually receiving a financial violation. So, and there are several other things that we've been doing, working closely with the Department of Health to try to make the inspections themselves better. And so that's really what we've been working on and we continue to work on.
I think that last thing you mentioned is really great, and that was one point that I wanted to make on this show, that it seems to me that one way to get around the unfairness complaint or the lack of consistency complaint is to say that you can only be fined and get points for something the second time they point it out to you. In my restaurant, we had an inspection about a year ago, and we got points and a fine because a pipe that was running through our basement wasn't properly covered. Those points were the difference between an A and a B for us on our first inspection, and it was a pipe that had been there for 5 years. It had gone through 5 years of inspections, and nobody'd ever pointed it out. Nobody had a problem with it. So I feel like that's an implicit statement by the Department of Health that pipe is okay, that they're not fining us for it. And if he'd said, fix this, and if it's not fixed by your reinspection, then you'll get a fine in points, I would have said that's perfectly fair. But we had to pay for the fine, and we got a B instead of an A, and then had to fight for our A on the reinspection after that, and it seemed really unfair. Do you guys think that, Kevin, would that make sense?
Yeah, I think I actually fought that one for you, as a matter of fact, and I think you did get an A. There's a defense that we use, and it's called reasonable reliance on prior agency determination. What that means is, you guys came and inspected me, and I didn't have a backflow inspector 10 years ago. Don't come 10 years later and say, where's your backflow valve? Mm-hmm. If you came and no one ever said anything for 10 years, it's reasonable for me to rely on the fact that the pipe that's not covered is cool because you never said anything about it before.
Yeah.
So, you know, we actually will go back and look at all the inspections. Now that they're online, it's actually easy. They'll come in and say, well, this pipe is uncovered, and I'll give them the last 7 health inspection reports, and I'll say, not one time on the prior 7 inspections did anyone ever mention this. So you can't just tell me now. It's not fair.
Yeah. Andrew, how's that fight going? Are we going to win this one?
Which one is that? I'm sorry.
I don't know how you phrased it, but so that we don't get fined for things that we haven't been told about before.
It's going well. So the administration is actually currently, they passed a law, I guess, 2 months ago. The administration essentially agreed to comply with it. Sometimes the administration doesn't listen to what the city council has to say. And they are currently going through the books to find violations. And hopefully, we're thinking around August, they will find violations that can be changed, that is. And hopefully in August they'll issue a report saying what they think their recommendations should be, and we were going to work closely with them to make sure that, you know, A, we agree with them, and B, that we can try to make it as expansive as possible.
Awesome. Well, as a restaurant owner, I thank you for that. We're going to have to take a short break, but when we come back, what's the difference between a pasteurized egg and a hard-boiled egg? This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
You're listening to Bang Bang Sun by Iggy Dean on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
We're back. This is How to Behave on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Hannah Howard, in my research for today's show, I came across a piece you wrote a few years ago for Serious Eats about a health inspection when you were managing a restaurant in Philadelphia.
Right, so I got my taste of Philly health department fun, and a lot of the themes of what we've been discussing unplayed before me, I got to, or rather unfolded before me. I came in sort of in the middle of things, and the owners had a really friendly health inspector who had, I guess, like kindly, gently suggested some changes that would have to occur, and they made those changes, and then she had a baby and left her health inspection job.
She had a baby during the inspection?
She had a baby post-inspection.
Oh, okay.
And we had her less benign coworker who had a lot of problems, and you know, it all worked out in the end, but not without due stress and a lot of running around with like chickens with our heads cut off trying to, you know, fix the exactly with the ice machine back water flow. And one of the things that had happened that pissed me off was we were furiously cleaning, because in Philly they gave us, I don't think they told us the specific time that she would arrive, but we thought that she might be coming, and we cleaned really thoroughly, and we left out our mop, and that was not okay to leave out the mop. We have to put the mop away.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff that, like, technically you get points for if you're cleaning. You know, they'll be like, there's standing water there that can attract vermin, and you go, we mopped.
Exactly.
We're clean. And they're like, sorry, standing water, you're screwed. But in Philadelphia, in the piece you wrote, you said that the inspector quizzed you with questions like what to do if an employee shows signs of illness. Like, that's just unimaginable with New York inspectors. Like,
right,
they ask questions like, is this cheese?
they can quiz any employee. So we were trained in our little food safety mandatory training session that, you know, they say when the health inspector arrives, make sure that the person who's talking to the health inspector is yourself or someone who you really trust, because if you say the wrong word, they call you on it.
Yeah, Bruce?
Yeah.
How do you guys handle that? Do you have a rule about who gets to talk when the inspector walks in?
Well, we have encouraged everybody who works at the bar to get their food handling certificate, and that doesn't mean that everybody does, because it takes a little bit of time and a lot of concentration.
But the point of that is that they have to learn the rules, right?
They have to learn the rules. They're actually, you know, it's kind of like jury duty. You know, you're scared to death of it before you actually have to do it, but when you do it, it's pretty interesting. Having said that, when the health inspector comes to Huckleberry Bar, our modus operandi is everybody drop everything. Nobody make drinks. We will pour Prosecco for free for everybody in the bar, but we will not put ourselves into a situation where we could do something slightly wrong. In the past, we used to crack fresh eggs into drinks for, you know, a certain kind of many drinks that require fresh egg white. We no longer use fresh eggs because we obviously don't want to get caught up in a violation that
you don't want to get up
like
in a conversation with someone who may or may not know the rules of that.
Yeah. So now we use pasteurized. You were mentioning what is the difference between a hard-boiled egg and a pasteurized egg, and pasteurized eggs have been heated to a point that all the germs in them are killed. The interesting thing about pasteurized egg whites that we use is that we were working with a 5-pound carton of them, and we couldn't get them to froth. And so we switched to the smaller cartons that are about a pint, and those froth fantastically, and that gives you that sort of like that luscious, almost like a meringue on the top of certain drinks. So, and it's you know, approved by the Department of Health.
Ark, I'm glad you brought that up, because as my comment earlier indicated, I really want to talk about eggs today. We had a health inspector recently who asked about our mayonnaise and said, it was an aioli, which is basically a mayonnaise. Is it made with pasteurized eggs? And our manager, who was speaking to him, because nobody else... At our restaurant, the rule is when the health inspector comes in, the manager on duty can speak to him, and everybody else is only allowed to say, no comprendo anglais. But she said, what do you mean pasteurized eggs? If you pasteurize an egg, it cooks it. Like, what are you talking about? And he said, mayonnaise has to, you can't use raw eggs. And so she said, well, this is store-bought mayonnaise. And he said, oh, okay, great, and then moved on. But if we wanted to make our own mayonnaise in-house, are we not allowed to do that with raw eggs, which is how you make mayonnaise?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, Kevin, you're an attorney. Well, you're the expert on this.
So here's the thing. I'm good at the law, and I have worked in restaurants, but I do not by any means hold myself out to be a food safety expert. But here's what
does the law say that it's illegal
to make mayonnaise?
I know it doesn't.
Lawyers love to not answer questions. Okay, so I'm going to say it depends. But yeah,
I know it doesn't say you're not allowed to make mayonnaise, but it does say that you have to cook eggs to a certain temperature that I think is 160 degrees or something, unless the customer asks for something like eggs over easy or soft boiled, in which case you can do whatever you want.
That is a rule. There's also, so look, there's hollandaise sauce that people go to brunch. I don't believe in brunch, but there's people who go to brunch and they have hollandaise sauce in their eggs, right?
I assure you, brunch exists.
I know. I've never been. I've seen it.
It's real.
It's a thing. It's just not a thing that I do.
It's just a scary
Having
thing.
Worked brunch, I promised myself I would never go again. Yeah. I think that the rules really change because with the HACCP plans, where there's certain timing issues you're allowed, you get approved, and there's a whole process you go through, then you can start having raw things, and you can start keeping stuff out. Then you can have, I think eggs can be out for up to 4 hours if they're marked. So you take out a carton of eggs, and you write 12 eggs, 9 a.m., and you should be good for X amount of time based on your plan.
But the thing with eggs is not their temperature, it's that, I mean, they have to be cooked. It's
right.
Like cold items can be left out for 4 hours if they're marked, like you're
Correct.
Saying. But in this case, we're talking about a thing that you're not allowed to serve cold. You have to heat it.
I believe, and again, there are food experts who'd be better at interpretation.
Well, no, the food experts don't matter. Reality doesn't matter here. The only thing that matters is what the health department thinks is the rule.
Or what I can get a judge to believe with the truth later on when I make the argument. A lot of times you can make arguments that say, look, this is hollandaise sauce. I made it at 9. It's 10:30. It's good. There's nothing wrong with it. But then what you're saying is, you know, the health department is unreasonable. They want you to use chemical mayonnaise instead of fresh mayonnaise. That doesn't make sense to me. They want you to pasteurize it so you can get that, like, you know, in Mexico they like radiate everything. All the dairy in Mexico is radiated.
Yeah.
So that it kills all these things instead of pasteurizing it. I was down when I lived there. I couldn't believe, like, I don't want to buy milk that's been radiated.
But the milk can be out and warm for 2 weeks and be just fine, right?
I don't know.
It won't go bad.
Is that true? I think that's true, which is horrible. It's scary.
I don't know the details of Mexican milk, unfortunately.
We're getting off track.
All right, we're getting off track. Okay, really quickly, I want to talk about a restaurant I was in recently, which I will not name. It's a restaurant I go to a lot, and it's a very good restaurant, and I believe it to be a clean and safe restaurant from everything I know. Their health department report is in front of you, Kevin, if you want to take a look at it. They have a big old C hanging in the window, and they have a note next to the C explaining why they have the C. I went to the health department website, and the reasons they have the C are not anything like what their note says. So, A, does the health department crack down on stuff like that? B, the restaurant was busy. It was, you know, doing just fine. It didn't seem like the C was a problem. And then my other questions are, if you look at the scores there, it looks like every time they're inspected, they do really, really poorly on the first inspection, in one case getting closed down, and really fine, like they get A's on other second inspections, which makes me think what I talked earlier. Like, do they just load you up with fines to collect a bunch of money on your first inspection and then give you what's fair on your re-inspection? So they So they don't get the complaints of everybody not getting A's, but they do collect a ton of money.
Yeah, 3 years ago I would have told you that they're just out for money. I really hated the health department when this started. I'm much looser now. I think they're actually trying to do better. I think they are doing better. I don't think they're out to bang everybody for money. I really don't. I know that's how it feels when you own a restaurant, but I really don't think that's the case. I do think here, this is frightening, and the problem I have with this system is that anyone can have a good day once, and anyone can have a bad day once, and anyone can have a good inspector once, and anyone can have a bad inspector once. And it's such a roll of the dice. It's so arbitrary that you get caught out there for nothing. I think that's the biggest problem. So here, I mean, this place should have been shut down at least two of the three times they were inspected recently. Mm-hmm. But then they come back and, you know, they sweep up in 2 weeks or whatever they had to do, and all of a sudden they get an A. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
They get shut down, then a week later they get inspected and they get an A, and then 6 months later or 5 months or whatever they get reinspected and they get shut down again. Like,
yeah.
Did they do some? I mean, we don't know. And I did invite them to come onto the show, and they are amongst the many, many restaurateurs who didn't even respond to my request.
Yeah, I'm not sure. This is weird because they have 10 points, but they have a C.
And so there's another thing. Yeah. It says they have 10 points, but they have a C hanging in the window, and I don't believe they would do that if they didn't have to. So is the website just not up to date?
Something's off here, because what probably happened was they probably got inspected multiple times, and this is actually the most recent inspection was when they passed. But yeah, they probably failed twice before that, and you're just not seeing it because it's not set up that way. Yeah. That's what I would assume.
Andrew, do you?
Because if you look at it here, they're not allowed to come back before 7 days. It's actually the whole case will get dismissed if they come back before 7 days. So here they got inspected March 1st and March 4th, which means their real first inspection was 228. They failed. Then they got inspected 4 days later, and they failed, which that should have been dismissed, but they didn't know what they were doing. And then they got inspected again 3 days after that. That was probably a scheduled inspection.
Okay, well, I'll tell them to call you. So,
well, now they're screwed for 90 days, so I can't help them.
Andrew, you're going to say something?
So that's the part of the one of the things that the city council and the administration keeps trying doing, and well, I guess now the private sector too, is sort of spread as much of this letter grade information as they can. You might have seen in the press a couple of months ago, Yelp struck a deal with the city, both New York and San Francisco, to like put the letter grades up on the Yelp sites as if they weren't bad enough.
Oh God!
And they want to put like a link or a QR code, although I don't know how many people really use those things. To people's online inspection reports on like every city license. Thankfully, we pushed that back. They wanted to put a QR code on letter grades, on the actual letter grade, or some kind of link that would tell people to go to the online portal. And you know, we have nothing. I mean, there's nothing. The problem with that system, where it seems like, oh, the great, you know, we're in favor of more transparency in the public, but the DOH is just not updating that regularly enough, and often there's just completely wrong information on it.
Yeah, and what scares me about that is actually that the public is so uninformed. As we were talking about earlier, people who work in restaurants are not afraid to go to B restaurants. They know what petty things can bring about a B, and they know that you can do a couple pretty dangerous things and still have an A. It's just scary to me that the public would have that much information in their hands to misuse.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that's so amazing to me about the letter grade system. I mean, people treat it like it was carried down from Moses on high from the Mount Sinai, that these grades are sacred. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've heard tons of people or yourself say, oh, I won't eat at a B restaurant. I won't eat at a C restaurant. You know what, people? You've been eating at them all along.
Right.
You ate Department of Health is not saying it's so bad you can't eat in it.
Yeah, the Department of Health is saying you're clean enough to be open.
Right. So but people don't, because people have that lack of knowledge about it, they all they know is what an A or B means on their, you know, eighth grade algebra test.
Right.
I went on a news program on I think it was MSNBC. Oh, no, sorry, it was Bloomberg the other day. And the host of the show, we were talking during a break, and she was just so adamantly convinced that a B was a bad. I never eat a B. I look up every, and I said, well, you know, you can always go on. You should probably go online and get more information about it. She goes, oh, I do that all the time. I go and I look and see what these restaurants have. And even when you do that, the public is misinformed about what the actual violations are.
Yeah, and
I mean, if something says evidence of live vermin, people think that you're cooking with like rat droppings.
Right, and it's New York City.
Like it's usually a crack in the wall.
For us, we're talking about New York City. Everyone, maybe not everyone, but pretty close to everyone, even the A grades, is likely to have a score that says evidence of vermin.
Right.
It's just a reality. It's a constant war we fight, and we try to stay on top of it. And I feel like I need to go on record. We don't have much time left, but I am actually absolutely in favor of the letter grade system. I believe firmly that it has made restaurants in New York City cleaner and safer. And places that used to say, we're good enough to stay open, we'll pay a couple $1,000 fine, it's part of the cost of doing business, we're fine. Now they are going through the restaurants with a fine-tooth comb looking for everything because it could be the difference between A and B. I think that's good. I just wish the system were more fair and more balanced, and I wish you could get an A with a little more points. It's really, really tight. You can have like two violations and be in B.
Right.
It's really tough.
Yeah, that's my problem with it. I'd like to see a number-based system because the difference between an A and a B, you know, it's 13 to 14. We have people get 15. 15 points is very easy to get, and that's a B. And that's so whether you have 15 points or 27 points, you're still a B.
Yeah,
and that's a huge difference.
But if people saw on the window a 13 in one restaurant and a 14 in the other, they would be like, oh, no big difference.
Yeah, like if you got a
little bit about what's going on instead of just scaring them away.
Because I'd go to an 87 or an 85, but I might not go to a 63.
Yeah,
but
it
that's
would be
different.
Also great if it were on the 100-point scale rather than a 1,000-point scale where 13 points off can get you a B.
Yeah, the Los Angeles system comes out of 100 total, so that's how they do it. Our system, I think Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, I think someone at NYSRA totaled it up and it was something like 11,000 points or something.
It's a little over that. It's like 1,100 points.
Yeah, it's 1,100 or something. All right, well, unfortunately, that is all the time we have today. Apparently, we needed 3 episodes to talk about the Department of Health, but we only had 2. A big thanks to my guests today, attorney Kevin O'Donohue from Helbron, Levy, and O'Donohue, Andrew Mosel from the New York State Restaurant Association, Bruce Ramsey of Huckleberry Bar, 588 Grand Street in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. You should go there. Thanks to the woman who panics every time she's asked to explain the 3 steps of manually washing dishes. Quick, Hannah, what are they?
I don't know
what I'm talking about?
I lose once again.
The How to Behave theme is courtesy of John Lundbaum and Big Five Chord. Check them out at big5chord.com. Sorry, Hannah, I shouldn't have put you on the spot like that.
I forgive you.
Thanks to Joe Galarraga for engineering today's show. You can always find episodes of How to Behave and lots of other great shows at heritageradionetwork.org. I'm Brian Kaiser, and don't take my advice. Take my friend Eugene Ahn's advice. Eat at restaurants with a C in the window. C is for character. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.